I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Darren Guccione, CEO and co-founder of Keeper Security, the leading cybersecurity platform for preventing password-related data breaches and cyber threats. To learn more about Keeper Security, visit keepersecurity.com. Welcome, Darren. So happy to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So, Darren, let's start out by learning some more about you and Keeper Security. What's your background and what led to you co-founding Keeper?
Sure. Well, I'm a CPA and an engineer smashed into a single person. So I've got, you know, somewhat of an analytical background. I love art. I love music. I love science. I love tech. All of the above. In terms of Keeper Security, it really was the advent and the result of my partner and I. My partner's Craig Lurie. He's the chief technology officer and co-founder of this company with me. And there was really at that time, this is back in 2008 when the iPhone had come out. In 2009, Apple was launching its first software development kit. Actually, that was really around late 2008. And we saw a revolution coming where at that time, there really wasn't anything for a mobile device to protect and safeguard genuine digital assets. That is, anything that you put into a computer, whether it's a password, a note, a list, any form of metadata, even files, there really wasn't anything out there in terms of allowing a user to transact on a mobile device. So we decided to create a platform, which we call a zero-knowledge security architecture, and created Keeper Security. We started on the iPhone and then moved into Android and then across the board into every single, really, platform out there. So Mac, PC, Linux, every type of web browser, native, desktop, cloud, and really built the company up over the last 9 years. So it's been a lot of fun.
That sounds really fun. And so that sounds like that's what you noticed that made you want to create that, was that those different devices were hitting the markets, and then you just saw that need and kind of figured you guys could fill that need.
Yeah, it was really, you know, it was interesting because as time went on and the attacks, you know, the cyber attacks became more prevalent and more frequent, it was abundantly clear to us just based on our research, because we do a lot of thought research work here, that more than 80% of the time when there's a cyber breach, it's a result of weak password security or related internal controls around passwords, credentials, and secrets. So this platform that we continue to build out and evolve over the course of time was really geared to preventing those types of attacks, mainly because they're the most common. And so, and they can also, by the way, be the hardest to deal with, as we're seeing with ransomware. So, we're, you know, extremely excited about the industry that we're in. We love doing what we do because we get to protect people and help people prevent these types of brutal attacks. And I think anything that you can do in life that you love doing and that you have a passion for is a blessing. So we're having a good time here.
Awesome. And you brought up ransomware, so I'd like to focus on that for the balance of our interview together, because you know, we're Cybersecurity Ventures, kind of our research portion of our media. We are predicting that a business will fall victim to a ransomware attack every 11 seconds, with global ransomware damage costs predicted to exceed $265 billion by 2031. So within 10 years. And we're all seeing, even, you know, non-industry folks, more high profile ransomware attacks in the mainstream media, as well as those smaller scale ransomware attacks on local businesses, perhaps people are seeing in their local media, local news, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So Darren, from your perspective, I guess what's going on and what's contributing to this rapid increase in ransomware?
Well, ransomware is a big business, right? So it's a multi-billion dollar industry annually now. And we call it ransomware as a service. Why? Because there's development organizations that create this software that allow other individuals to use it. So imagine going to a site on the dark web and coming across something that you can license, you know, for as low as $40. It's going up, but initially it was roughly $39 for a perpetual license. And you don't have to be that experienced to use the software. So you get into the business for a very low barrier. You take another individual's, licensed software and you perpetuate it and you start making money. And so now this has become a huge industry, and we see, products like Stampato, which is one of the first ones out there from Rainmaker Labs, has really kicked things off. And it's amazing because the proliferation is gigantic. The groups have sort of banded together and formed what we call just these different types of networks, or you can call them RAS cartels, so ransomware as a service cartels, groups of developers that are propagating these attacks. And you've seen many of them, come to light lately, just based on the Colonial Pipeline attack and several others. You've seen Revel as one, Maze, Sotonokubi, Doppelpaymer. There's several now that are out there, and it's big business. So this is what's happening.
Great. And I understand that Keeper Security is putting out a 2021 ransomware impact report. So I'm curious if you could share with us what that covers in addition to what you just shared.
Sure. So we do a lot of research here. And one of the reports that we just launched, which you just mentioned, we call it the RIR 2021 report, which is Ransomware Impact Report. We surveyed 2,000 employees across the United States whose companies had suffered a ransomware attack in the last year. And the findings are really alarming. So for one, nearly one-third of the employees were unaware that, first, they didn't know what a ransomware attack even was until the attack occurred. 29% of the respondents said they really didn't understand what ransomware was even after the attack. And this is where education comes in, because 77% of those respondents after the attack were unable to access any of their systems or networks. And this is really the crux of the attack. And what a lot of people don't realize is that the dark web contains over 20 billion stolen login pairs. And what we mean by that is a stolen username and or password from a public data breach that's aggregated on the dark web and transacted upon, i.e. bought and sold by and among cyber criminals to carry out these attacks. And the other data point that we discovered was that even though organizations are quite often told not to pay the ransom, 49% of the respondents said that their employers did in fact pay the ransom. So the cyber criminals know that there is a higher probability or significant chance that if there is an attack and the data on the other end is encrypted and they are locked out, there's a high probability that they're going to get their money at least at some level and receive a ransom and move on to the next victim.
And what are the, I'm thinking about this, like what are the implications for businesses with ransomware attacks? Obviously there are financial implications, but I guess what are some other implications that perhaps, we don't hear about as much?
Well, number one, it's embarrassing. So I think, a corporation can be a lot like a person, right? It's a living thing. It's a living entity. It's really something that, does have a personality and a health factor. Number one, organizations do not like the public fallout from a ransomware attack. Number two, they don't want their stakeholders impacted. So for example, with Colonial, you saw, there were lines at the fuel stations.
Right.
Number three, you have legal liability because there is, personal identifiable information at risk. What organizations typically forget or may not fully realize is that regardless of the business that you're in as a core business. So for example, if you're in the manufacturing or distribution or service business, that's your primary business. But you also have an ancillary fiduciary business. And that means that if you are collecting any type of information or digital asset on an individual or another organization, you become a fiduciary of that information. So there's also brand denigration, which we know of. Generally speaking, the fines can be enormous if your defenses are not bolstered enough, if there was information that was leaked to to the public if you fail to disclose. There are a series of issues that come into play outside of just the general ones that I mentioned, you know, a few seconds ago, that are becoming far more pervasive and problematic. And this is where you're seeing the private sector now asking the government or the public sector for help and support, because this is a war. So you can think about it like, if you were, you know, you're living in a country and that country is attacked, you know quite well that the government's going to protect you, right? We have armed forces that do that. In the cyber war, this is a silent war that's very expensive and very costly. At the end of the day, the private sector is now asking for governmental assistance across the board to track these perpetrators down, to prevent breaches, and to get more involved in the mandates to protect the private sector.
Excellent. And great points. And I'm curious to hear from you as well. Is there a way for businesses to introduce better cyber hygiene and be more proactive with their workforces without potential negative impact of like, oh, my, you know, my work is increasing their cybersecurity. Now it takes me 5 minutes to log on every morning and things like that, that I've heard other folks talk about.
Yeah, I think, you know, the key here is there are amazing technologies out there. And I would say, you know, when in our industry, there's probably no more than 300 vendors. And that's really small. When you talk about the number of vendors that are out, at least leading the charge in our industry, 300 vendors that are working extremely hard to protect the world from these cyber attacks and breaches, it's a daunting task. And one of the things that's extremely important in terms of the mindset that we have as developers is that there is a inverse relationship, at least psychologically, with any end user that's using a product, a security product that is. There's this inverse relationship between productivity or ease of use and security. So typically, the more secure a system is, the harder it is to use. And so it's upon us as software developers and innovators to create security products that are very elegant and very easy to use. And that has radically improved, I would say, even over the last, you know, 5 years, especially over the last 12 months. So you have products out there like Endpoint Security, Enterprise Password Security, Single Sign-On, other identity platforms that are helping individual users transact with their devices in a very elegant and seamless way, where in the background, you know, within multiple layers of the onion that's supporting that product is very deep and structured encryption schemes to protect their information. So if you want to talk about the mindset within an organization that's buying these technologies, buying the technology is really not the first step. It's a mindset around cybersecurity. It's noting that security and cybersecurity should be an integral part of every single component of the organization. I mean every single component. It's not just about, you know, the products you produce or the services you provide or the products that you may distribute. It is about HR. It's about customer support, design, finance, accounting. It permeates every segment of your business. So we can talk about simple things like just safeguarding private records or personal identifiable information, right, in a locked room, in a locked cabinet, right? That may sound old school, but guess what? A lot of companies still do it this way. And cyber attacks can occur from a cleaning service that's not properly vetted, right, that comes in and cleans your office at night. You think nothing of it. And the next thing you know, they're rummaging through something, or they see a jump drive on someone's desk, they grab it. Next thing you know, there's an identity theft within the organization or targeted to a series of individuals, and then it winds up permeating more deeply and holistically throughout an organization. So we always recommend that when an organization look at themselves and do a self-assessment, I think this is really important. You know, a SOC audit is great. They're not inexpensive. They are arduous, but they're extremely important in terms of preparing yourself to have the right cybersecurity mindset and posture. That's just one step. I know that was a long answer, but you know, I could talk about this. I could talk about this for hours. You know,
no, it was good. So. And your number or amount of 300 companies trying to secure the world is interesting because I have a lot of conversations with folks, and something I hear very often is, there's a lot of cybersecurity options out there and the market feels saturated and it's overwhelming and getting approvals with boards for budgets and things like that. So it's kind of like a flipped perspective on that. So that was a really interesting point that you bring up, because that is, you know, with the amount of people in the world and the thing, you know, endless possibilities, it's really not that huge. But I'd like to hear from you the points of differentiation that Keeper offers to help protect businesses and individuals, what have you, from ransomware attacks, and perhaps more than that if you wanted to go further.
Sure. I think, you know, there's a couple things. So number one, convenience and security, we've touched on that. So security is the nucleus of our business. It's, you know, first and foremost, the most important thing, and it starts with what we call a zero trust security framework and a zero knowledge security architecture. Essentially, what that means is you have to assume that anyone that's within a platform like this cannot be trusted. That's what zero trust means, right? So it's a way to mitigate the insider threat and the outsider threat by making sure that you have visibility and control over the password security of the organization, as well as visibility into the dark web. So you would want to know, if you're a CISO in an organization, if there's credentials that are being transacted upon in the dark web that are being targeted to your organization, where a set of those login credentials may match something within your ecosystem. You need to know immediately so you can take action to protect yourselves. Unfortunately, today, when you look at the vast plethora of, you know, public and private sector organizations globally, right, we're playing catch up. So the organization that we have is growing very fast because we're helping these global organizations fight the cyber war. What makes this product special is the platform. And it is a platform. You have to think about it like a cybersecurity platform. It's like logging into Mission Control to protect your organization, or your office, or your factory, or your distribution center from an attack, right? And so at the end of the day, if you sat with a CISO and said, do you know at any moment in time which team members throughout the entire organization, either an employee or a subcontractor, is transacting on any smartphone, tablet, or computer, or system or network within the entire organization with a weak password or a reused password that is being transacted upon by cyber criminals on the dark web? If you ask that question, typically the CISO will say, no, I don't have that visibility to know if we have poor password hygiene across every endpoint and every person in the organization. But then if you said to them, well, would you like to know? Would you like to have that visibility, security, and control? Of course they would say yes. This is why we create the Keeper Enterprise platform. This is exactly what it's designed to do, and that's exactly what it does. So when you want to mitigate the risk of a ransomware attack, the key is to have visibility, control, and access to the architecture in a very secure and seamless way that allows you to take immediate action, obviously proactively. But if you believe that there's an incident where there's a breach watch alert, that's what we call our dark web scanning solution, breach watch. If there's a breach watch alert, you're immediately notified to take action to rotate those credentials throughout the organization, and it updates all of the end user vaults. If you're running a single sign-on platform as part of your identity stack, or you're running, you know, another identity application like Azure or Active Directory, it does not matter. The platform ties it all together into one ubiquitous, beautiful platform. So you can think about it as a cybersecurity defense system. I mean, that is really what this is.
Fantastic.
Does that answer it?
Yeah, that's a great answer. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Very holistic and comprehensive. So I think that's exactly what I wanted to hear. So hopefully our listeners are, you know, happy to hear that too. I think they will be.
Thank you.
And I guess finally, it's not really a question for you, Darren, but I just wanted to share, because it's funny, we had this interview scheduled. And of course, just by the way of things, last week I was watching TV. I think I was watching like Lego Masters or something. And I saw the TV spot for Keeper that has Joe Esposito. And I just wanted to say that I loved it because I grew up loving The Karate Kid. And you mentioned you enjoy art and music. So I just wanted to share that because I really thought it was smart and fun.
No, it's cool. Thank you so much. We're big fans of Joe. Obviously, you know, Ralph Macchio.
Yeah.
Mr. Miyagi, wax on, wax off. I'm a black belt growing up.
Oh, cool.
I just love martial arts, and I love that song. And I just said to the team, hey, this would be amazing. And we have amazing creatives on our marketing team, and they've done a tremendous job. And so I think you'll be seeing more of Joe Esposito and some of our, you know, follow-on commercials. So we're really excited about what we're about to publish over the next couple of weeks.
Awesome. Well,
thank you.
Yeah. I will certainly be on the lookout for that. I'm kind of an advertising nerd. I'd spent about 10 years doing that. So it's just really fun to see. And it was, I don't know, the script was good too. I just really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, Darren, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today and to teach our audience more about ransomware and about Keeper Security. And, you know, hopefully we'll speak again soon, but just thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Hillary. I appreciate it too.
I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining us today was Darren Guccione, CEO and co-founder of Keeper Security, the leading cybersecurity platform for preventing password-related data breaches and cyber threats. To learn more about our sponsor, Keeper Security, visit keepersecurity.com. And you can listen to all of our podcast episodes at cybercrime.radio.